Moncrief on News Talk.
Most parents still record still and moving pictures of their kids. But Victoria Maplebeck went about this in a more methodical way. She spent 20 years recording her son Jim, which will now screen as the film Motherboard at the IFI Documentary Festival on Sunday, September the 14th. Victoria, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on your show.
Was it a kind of a situation where you were a filmmaker or you were involved in making films and televisions, and then when you found yourself pregnant, you thought, I won't be able to do that, so I might as well film this?
That's exactly it in a nutshell. I had had a short relationship when I was 37, and it didn't last very long. It was just a few dates, and I suddenly found myself single, pregnant and broke, and realised I couldn't carry on with the freelance TV career that I'd had. And I went into teaching. I had my son. He's called Jim. He's 21. He's packing for Dublin because he's coming to Trinity College for a term. He's next door packing and getting all his stuff together. And yeah, I decided to make a film about raising him alone because I felt like there weren't enough films in the world that kind of did a 3D portrait of what it's like being a solo parent. Mm-hmm. And so that film goes from literally like the pregnancy scan video when he gave me a thumbs up at my very first pregnancy scan, right the way through to his first day at college. We finished filming about a year ago and he's been doing the Q&A tour with me, and it's been amazing.
Yeah. And all of it was filmed by you, or some of it was filmed by Jim himself or other people?
Well, some of it was Jim, actually. So Jim has a creative consultant credit, which is quite unusual for a subject in a documentary. And it's because he had power of veto. So he was like watching cuts and saying, oh, that's too sentimental, Mom. Or like there was some difficult stuff around the teen years. So we had to spend a long time together deciding whether that should be in or not. And then he really kindly gave me, because obviously he'd be like showing me his Snapchats and Instagram reels. And I would sometimes be going, oh, that'd be good for the film. And he very generously, obviously a very censored version of what was in his phone archive, but he did give me some of that. And so you get a sense of him growing up on camera into the teen years. You see him at festivals, you see him out clubbing, you see him a little bit worse for wear when he's partying too hard. And so yeah, a decent chunk of it is Jim's footage, and it's mainly shot on smartphones. So from when Jim was about 11, smartphones were good enough to give you kind of broadcast film quality. And so it's shot on five generations of smartphones, from the iPhone 5 right the way through to the iPhone 15.
My word. Because in a way, a lot of parents might be listening to this and say, I don't want to see my teenage son drunk at a nightclub. You know, they'd almost rather not know. You know, were you kind of privy to information that typically parents might only get a highly filtered version of?
He's open, but I'm sure there's clips in his reels that I'm never going to get to see. So he was sort of in charge of what, you know, he censored what he gave me. But we did want a film that looked at the joy of parenting, because it has been an absolute joy and I'm so proud of him. But also we had some tough times, you know. Mm. He met his dad for the first time when he was a teenager. And that was very closely followed by my breast cancer diagnosis, completely out of the blue. I didn't have any symptoms. So I recommend any women listening who've got their 50-something mammogram on their to-do list to please do it, because that's how mine was spotted. And I then documented that whole year of, you know, how do you talk to a young person about cancer? That was really difficult because Jim was just shy of 14 when I was diagnosed. And then I just got through it. And thankfully, you know, I did get through it. And then stage left gave COVID, and Jim was only 16 when it was COVID. And that was really tough. We were living in a sort of small two-bed flat in London, and suddenly our horizon shrunk. And Jim, who just started socializing and partying, couldn't anymore. And, you know, I defy anybody. I think probably everybody remembers a humdinger of a row in COVID. And I was actually recording mine because I was doing another piece. It was an immersive sound piece that I was developing. And I'd started to record the landline calls, because obviously we went back to landline calls in COVID. And I was ringing my mum every day, because in the early days of COVID, COVID. That was my only way of keeping in touch with her. So I was recording all the calls, and then me and Jim had this terrible row, sort of, I think the schools had only just shut down, and I thought that I suggested that he did his driving test, theory test, as something productive to do, which I now look back on it thinking, what a stupid suggestion to a 16-year-old who has got all of this nightmare of not being able to study drama properly and not be able to see his friends and not be able to see his grandmother. And we had a humdinger of a row, which was recorded. And we had 3 years actually deciding whether that call should be in the film or not. And we had a test screening, and the test screening was amazing for Jim because he was going, oh God, Mum, people will hate me because they hear me telling you to shut up. And I'm like, I sound so aggressive. And I was saying, they won't, trust me, they won't. And when we had the screening, I think he felt the love in the room for him because everyone's either been that teenager or been that parent or both. Yeah. And also in the arc of the film, you see what Jim's been through to get him to that point of sort of imploding a bit. And so, yeah, unlike the sort of parenting influences, you know, that have gone really big on the socials, who maybe publish stuff without their kids' consent and do it in a very quick and instantaneous way, we always did it with Jim's consent, and also sometimes had up to 3 years debating whether really tough moments like that should be in or not.
Yeah. When you finished, after 20 years of doing this, it must have felt somewhat strange to you. Where Jim would ring you up and say, are you recording this call? No, I'm not, for a change.
So I never record Jim's mobile phones. He wouldn't calls. He wouldn't like that. But both of us have said recently, actually, that it was quite nice finishing, and it's been an absolute joy being out there with it. But both of us have said recently that we quite miss it because it used to be quite a good way of checking in. Like, we just, they weren't really interviews. They were like more like conversations, and sometimes they were just audio only conversations with Jim, or sometimes they were with the smartphone. And it was like sort of therapy on the cheap. I'm not a therapist. I'm his mom, but it was quite a useful way of unpacking what anxieties you might be going through and what's on your kind of mind at the time. So I think we both miss it a bit for that.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely fascinating. Victoria, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That's Victoria Meppelbeck there, the director of Motherboard. That's screening at the IFI Documentary Festival on Sunday, December the 14th. And if you're around Trinity College, you see a young man being filled by his mother, that's probably Victoria.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.